This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As we went to break, TCU gave up a touchdown to USC. 7-play, 75-yard drive. Maybe we should have taken USC when they were plus money, Matt. 10-7, easy drive for USC. We'll see if TCU can respond here. And don't feel great about where I'm at from a first half under. I have first half under 28. Full game total almost back to where we were at close. Now 55.5. For TCU and USC, and we'll see if TCU can get anything going on this drive. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. This hour being brought to you by our friends at Better. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better or visit better.app. That's B-E-T-R. Sign up today. Get a free $10. No deposit necessary.
Oregon coach Dan Lanning says today, quote, "I definitely think the Big Ten is the best conference in college football." He's a little bit biased, but the Big Ten has a record to back it up right now. Tim, Brett McMurphy tweets out that Illinois' win against Tennessee in the Music City Bowl drops the SEC to 2-5 in bowl games. And one win was against another SEC team. Big Ten improves to 6-0 this season, and we're watching a Big Ten team in action right now. That's USC with the 10-7 lead over TCU.
Also during a press conference today, Kirk Cignetti, head coach of Indiana, was asked about the mystique of Alabama and how his players will just focus on the game and not the history of Alabama. And he had a quote saying, "You probably know more about the mystique than they do. Our guys know what they see on tape."
A lot of these players are so young, you could mention the name Bear Bryant, and they would say, who's that? Is he a country singer?
Now, I will say that they certainly have seen Alabama be the most dominant team in college football for years, but I don't think that has any effect on the game on New Year's Day.
I don't think the Indiana players are going to care about that much when they run out. Hey, they just beat Ohio State a few weeks ago.
The national champs.
Played Notre Dame and Ohio State last year. You know, it's I don't think it's going to be like the movie Hoosiers where they walk out there in awe of where they're playing in the Rose Bowl and the opponent that they're playing. Kurt Cignetti reminds me so much of Nick Saban and the way he coaches his team, the way he talks. And obviously he was on Saban's first staff in Tuscaloosa in 2007. It's really, really impressive what he's done in the first 2 years. Guy's got a record of 24-2, Tim. The two losses were true road games to Ohio State and Notre Dame. And I asked Brent Musburger a week ago Friday when he was on the show with me on the Friday Football Invitational. I said, have you ever seen a coaching job in college football better than what Kurt Cignetti has done at Indiana the past 2 years? He said, no, it's the best I've ever seen.
They were
a doormat in the Big Ten.
They were a joke.
Right.
If Indiana got the bowl eligibility.
Indiana hasn't won a bowl game since, 1991?
I think that's right, yeah. Back in the Rose Bowl, first time since 67, and they're the favorite by a touchdown over Indiana. We're going to talk some Week 18 with David Behrman coming up in just a moment, but Matt, you and I did...
That's going to be the big SEC Big Ten showdown, right?
Which one?
Indiana-Alabama.
Sure.
If Alabama wins that, then that's going to be a big... flag planting moment for the SEC, but I don't think Alabama's going to win it.
Well, I think next week could certainly be the bigger one. If Georgia and Ohio State both advance, that's going to be quite the battle if we get that in the semifinals. Quick update, ball at the 30-yard line for TCU, and they're able to get a decent gainer here for a first down.
Okay, so if TCU, you got this first half total, you got to be sweating.
Yeah. If a touchdown is scored on this drive, I think we're in trouble right now. Because points are more than likely going to be scored. TCU or USC can't really stop TCU right now. It's actually funny. I looked at the full game over during the break, 54.5, thinking the way these two teams are playing right now, it does feel like this thing is now trending over. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if this slows down at any point here coming up. Under 7 minutes to go in the first half. Live total is now still 55.5. So if it's a field goal, maybe we'd look over in the full game here as this thing plays out, Matt.
Well, this is going to be the key drive for your total. Second and 10 for the Horned Frogs. And again, TCU, I think, looks okay offensively with the backup quarterback behind Josh Hoover.
Oh, that was an incomplete pass. I thought that was completed. All right, so that was an incomplete pass, but still at the 20-yard line. Man, that was USC's problem all year. Their defense is terrible.
I mean, that's just a simple draw play up the middle. That should have been second for one or 2 yards.
Broke like three tackles.
Yards?
Yeah. Yeah, this is it's going to be an issue for USC, and it doesn't get much better now that they're – defense coordinator, who actually you and I both like, is gone.
He's going to be a head coach someday soon. Dan Tomlin was at UCLA, then USC, now Penn State, one of the rising young coaching stars. First down, TCU on a run on
flag.
Third and two.
Can we get
third and two? Flag on the field.
All right, Matt. We will pivot to the NFL here in just a moment, but thinking about what we're going to see tomorrow, Iowa and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, a 5.5-point favorite, total 46.5 in this one. You've made a bet on this one, as have I. What are you looking at in this one?
I guess this is unanimous. We had Brad Powers and Wes Reynolds on the show on Monday night, and they both like Vandy. Excuse me. Slipped there.
Iowa.
We all like Iowa plus 5.5 against Vandy. Commodores 10-2. They have road losses at Alabama and Texas. Diego Pavia came up short in the Heisman race.
How'd that go, Matt? Did he take it well?
He didn't take it well. His behavior was embarrassing, classless and embarrassing. I think he needs to be humbled. And like I said on podcast today, here comes the Iowa defense, which could be the perfect defense to humble Diego Pavia here. I think this game's going to be very similar to the Missouri-Vandy game, which is ugly, low-scoring. Vandy was lucky to win it. In the last four games, Diego Pavia, very impressive play for Vanderbilt, Tim. Averaged 373 yards passing, 12 touchdowns, three picks. He also had 368 yards rushing and four touchdowns. But this Iowa defense is a different animal. The Hawkeyes held Indiana to 20 points, Oregon to 18. Both those games were in Iowa City. I think this is going to be one of those low-down, dirty, ugly games that the Hawkeyes are going to impose their will and their style of play, and they're going to contain Diego Pavia in this game. Iowa plus 5.5 is my play here.
On a 4th-and-2 jet sweep, USC pretended like they had never seen a jet sweep before, and they give up about 9 yards as he gets down to the
line. That was way too easy.
That was so – I mean, I could have seen that coming from a mile away, and lo and behold, USC will probably allow a touchdown here, and we are in ultra sweat mode right now, almost a – fumble. Ooh, interesting. He fumbled that ball going down, but
about a replay,
won't
that
matter. Oh, and touchdown.
Touchdown.
Ken
TCU.
Seals into the end zone. TCU strikes back. We might have our old school Alamo Bowl here tonight, Matt.
It's funny how this game has changed, and now I'm glad I didn't bet the under. The defenses are not putting up much resistance all of a sudden.
They are not. 13 to 10. Extra point pending here, and TCU back to a favorite. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about betting USC after TCU scored, and I was a little frustrated, like, I should have bet them. Now, watching how terrible that USC defense is, I'm not going to touch it.
Well, they got a couple guys missing. DC's out. And, well, this is one reason why I have not been betting many of these bowl games, non-playoff bowls. You're guessing at a lot of these games, Tim. And when you're guessing in sports betting, you're going to be losing more often than not.
Yeah, so TCU, 14-10 lead right now as they go into the end zone. We saw steam come in on TCU today. That number was 6.5 earlier today, down to around 4.5. And right now the live total up to 58.5. I did bet the first half under in Iowa Vandy as well. We've seen some under money come into the betting market as well. But I'm with you. I took Iowa. Actually didn't get the best of the number. I took 4.5. 5.5s are out there now. But Eli Stowers, you mentioned that. He is out, the Mackey Award winner, 62 catches, 769 yards,
that's
and four touchdowns. Yeah,
that's a big deal. I did not expect him to play anyway. You probably didn't either, right?
No, I didn't. I just, you know, it took a while for it ultimately to come together. So,
but you never know. I mean, I didn't think Drew Mestemaker was going to play. The quarterback was going to play for North Texas, and he played.
Yeah.
And he's obviously now in the transfer portal. I think he's headed to Oklahoma State.
Probably, but who knows? I mean, he might be looking for a whole bunch of cash from a lot of different places.
Brett McMurphy's got cash.
What's that?
McMurphy's got cash. He can pay the kid to go to Oklahoma State.
Hey, think you know sports? Then it's time to get paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app, pick more or less on your favorite player stats. When your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do deposit, you'll get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has action every single day. Here's how to get started. It's easy. Head to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSIN to claim your free $10 in your deposit bonus. Better Picks, if you know sports, it's time to prove it.
A couple of loose ends to tie up here. Ryan Hyatt said his mom was watching his spot, and she said he's wrong, and that Texas Tech is going to score 30 points, not 27.
Okay.
And Dan Saley, who was on with us earlier in the show, wanted to clarify that Ole Miss, he likes Ole Miss to cover, but Georgia on the money line to win the game.
All right.
I like Georgia on the money line as well.
I know. You have a money line parlay with Indiana.
And Georgia.
Plus money on that one. The Gov on Twitter said, I tailed Scott Pritchard and Kenny White on over 55.5 in the Alamo goal. You guys had me worried about this game. All right.
That's right.
Well, you should be well, hopefully you're in the right spot now.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I think you and I could get out there and sling it against these defenses right now. 3.5 minutes to go, 14-10. TCU with the lead, but USC on the move right back down the field. And we are just slowly awaiting the death of my first half under, which will come in a moment's time here. Ball sitting at the, where are we at, the 30?
28-yard line, but close enough. I guess you could root for your friends. The Gov, Kenny White, Scott Pritchard, to get this over the total.
Yeah, full over.
You would prefer first half under and full game over,
sure.
I know. 24 points on the board, 2.5 minutes to go. Let's head out to the Smoky Mountains.
All right, that is where our next guest is joining us. Where are you, David? We're used to your lovely backdrop there in Connecticut, but now you're on the road. You're in the mountains somewhere. You probably have a beard, haven't showered in like 4 days. What's going on?
Every single part of that is true. I am on Lookout Mountain off the mountains of Chattanooga, Tennessee, celebrating my mother's 74th birthday. She shares that birthday with Tiger and LeBron James, so happy birthday to her. Here's the thing, guys. I was told I was going to Chattanooga, which is illegal, you know, Tennessee, illegal betting, so I didn't place my bets ahead of time. Upon getting to the Airbnb, I find out that we're in the mountains above Chattanooga, but really in Georgia, a non-legal betting state. Do you have any hikes in the woods I've had to take to cross the border and place some bets? It's been an interesting week.
Well, if you're going to hike in the woods out there, be careful. Have you ever seen the movie Deliverance?
And not only have I seen Deliverance, I've also seen the movie Wrong Turn, and you don't want to see that one, Matt. You don't want to see that one.
No, I was going to say, be careful when you're hiking out there in the Smoky Mountains, David. That's a risky bet. That's a risky bet you're putting in. if you're heading out there. Okay, let's talk about the battle for the NFC South. This has a Super Bowl feel to it. A lot of excitement around this game. Panthers and Bucks. And who do you like in the Carolina-Tampa Bay battle?
I was actually surprised at this line. And by the way, only in the NFC South could a team that was eliminated a month ago impact whether this is a winner-take-all game. But that's for a whole other story. I like the Panthers here, guys. We saw this matchup 2 weeks ago in a game that the Panthers won. They're a much better team here. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks offense was a mess in that game and have been for a long time. The Bucks have lost 7 of the last 8 and are barely put up a fight against the bad Dolphins. You know how much I love the Dolphins. Had a rookie quarterback, and they dominated the Bucks in that game. This team just simply isn't any good anymore, and they wouldn't be sniffing the playoffs if they weren't in this NFC South division. This Bucks offense has broken 20 once in the last 6 games. Baker Mayfield, 9 touchdowns, 8 interceptions over that time. The Panthers have alternated wins and losses each of the last 10 weeks, which is just perfect for an NFC South champion. I think that streak continues. I'm going to take the points, and I actually think they're live to win this outright. So if you're going to make some parlays and whatnot, take the Panthers' money line in this one.
You can get the 3 out there. You got to pay some juice at FanDuel. A lot of 2.5s right now is the market coming in on the Carolina Panthers in that spot as David Behrman joins us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. David, let's go to Sunday where we get Indianapolis visiting the Houston Texans. We've got a total of, call it 39.5 at FanDuel, some 39s out there. Houston, a sizable favorite in this one as they are still trying to win the AFC South. Obviously, that doesn't come to fruition if Jacksonville beats Tennessee. But what do you expect to see at NRG Stadium on Sunday?
I think people are sorely underestimating this Texans defense, which is one of the best defenses we've seen in a long time. And on the other side, Phillip Rivers isn't playing. It was a good little 3-week run. That leaves Riley Leonard. Your boy Riley Leonard is going to be quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts this week. The team has been a shell of themselves, and what teams have done with Phillip Rivers and Riley Leonard now is they're stacking the box against Jonathan Taylor, not letting him beat them, which has been the formula against the Colts. But no matter who the quarterback has been, the Colts have only broken 21 times since their Week 11 bye, averaging 19 points per game. Tim, I mentioned the Texans defense. They're only allowing 16.5 points per game, so I'll be looking not only at the under in this game, and I saw it at 40.5 and ran into the woods to go bet it across the border. I know it's at 39.5 now. I'm also going to be looking at the Colts team total under. It's sitting at 13.5. I'd like to get it at 14.5, so I'm going to be watching that. But in the meantime, I'll be taking the game under 39.5 or 40.5, depending on where you're at.
Philadelphia has already locked up the NFC East, but they'll be trying to get themselves up to the number 2 spot in the NFC after last week's win and the slop in Buffalo. The total right now, 41.5 between Washington and Philadelphia. Josh Johnson and the Washington Commanders head up to the link. We looking under here in this one, Undertaker?
You know it. I love the unders. I love the under in this game. This is also a game that we saw 2 weeks ago, and yes, it ended at 47, but this game was 14-10 entering the fourth quarter. It took 3 touchdowns in the fourth, including 2 in the final 4 minutes of a game that was long over by then. Neither team moved the ball. If you look at the actual box score, the Commanders had only 220 yards of total offense in the meeting. They shouldn't have scored what they did score at the end, and it would have been under the total. You mentioned the Eagles can play for the 2 seed, but when Chicago is beating Detroit, who isn't going to play anybody, at halftime and Chicago has the 2 seed locked up, I don't expect the Eagles to play many people in the second half of that one. And by the way, their offense sticks. What we know about the Eagles is the Chiefs have a fantastic defense. We saw it against Buffalo, but their offense still isn't rolling. They've scored 21 or less in 5 of the last 6 games, while the defense has allowed 30 total over the last 3 weeks. I actually really love the under in this one. I don't think you're going to see many people play in the fourth quarter. And without the fourth quarter 2 weeks ago, this game goes way under the total.
David Behrman, Betting with Behrman. You can follow him at David Behrman. He's a longtime Dolphins fan and the speechwriter for Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel. All right, so Dolphins, Patriots in Foxborough, numbers 10.5. Any take on this game? And do you think Drake May is going to be the MVP with a big game here in Week 18?
If forced to painfully watch this one and bet it, I would lay the number with the Patriots. We've seen the Dolphins don't play well in these conditions at all. I know they played well last week. That's at home versus Tampa. Patriots are on a mission. They won the division. They still have the 1 seed to play for. I don't like the hook. If it goes back to 10, I would lay the 10. As far as Drake May, listen, Matt Stafford had it. It was right there. Matt, you know this. We've talked about this before. I have a 40-1 ticket that I literally watched it go up in flames the other night against the Falcons. I still think Stafford's there because at the end of the day, he's had the better overall season, tougher schedule, tougher division. And I mean, if you're just doing it based on where they finished, obviously May going to win the division, potentially the one seed. The Rams are going to be the 5 or 6. But to me, it's who has had the better season. And I think Matt Stafford should win the MVP. That doesn't mean he won't. But you don't see second-year quarterbacks win it that often unless, you know, your name is Dan Marino.
That's true. That was a long time ago. That was, what, 1985?
84. 48 touchdowns, yep. 5,200 yards. Yep.
Drake May right now. Tim, what's that number? Is that at DraftKings? Drake May minus 400 to win MVP. Matthew Stafford, 3-1. Those numbers seem a little bit out of whack to me, even though May should be a slight favorite right now. Hey, you mentioned Carolina, Tampa Bay. How about the other game Saturday? Seattle, San Francisco with the Seahawks. 1.5-point road favorites. Or Sunday night football, Bierman, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Ravens laying 3.5. Do you have an opinion on one of those two games?
Yeah, I would side with San Francisco here. I just think at home, they have everything. Obviously, both teams have everything on the line. I'm not sold that San Francisco is the one seed in the NFC, but I'm not sold on Seattle either. Seattle's been great. They've won a lot of games in a row, but they're doing it. Very good defense. I'm just not sold to the bet. I still think the Rams are better than both those teams. I lean San Francisco as far as the AFC North battle. Listen, I don't think both teams stink. Neither team is any good, and whoever wins this game is going to lose in the first round of the playoffs, even at home. I don't understand the love that the Ravens continue to get by the media, who seem to think they're going to flip a switch and they're going to go run all the way to the Super Bowl. They're laying 3.5 on the road, but at the same point, the Steelers aren't any good at all. But they're getting 3.5 at home. I would lean Tomlin in a winner-take-all game, getting 3.5 at home. Don't love it, not selling it. Want to take the under, but the Steelers' defense is garbage as well. I don't like anybody in this game. I'm actually a little surprised it's the Sunday night game and not San Francisco-Seattle. I would lean both home teams in this one, but I don't love either one. That's why we're betting on crap like Carolina-Tampa.
David, always appreciate it, and enjoy the lovely Smoky Mountains down there in Georgia.
Yeah, there'll be some Ruby Falls tomorrow. And by the way, Tim, I was asked specifically today by my peeps at FanDuel Sports Network what it will take to get Tim Murray to do the hit from Circus Swim and not there in the sports.
That's a good idea.
That's a good question.
It's a little cold out there right now, but that's a great idea.
Yeah. You know, it's only a 4.5-5 minute hit. I think we can pull it off.
I think we can pull it off. Yeah. We'll talk to the right people and we'll try to make that happen. But David, always appreciate it, and happy New Year, man.
Thank you. You too. You guys both enjoy. See you.
By the way, Tim Murray's a happy man. 27 points in the first half. 14-13 TCU over USC with 18 seconds to go. Trojans just got a field goal.
USC milked the clock and ended up with a field goal. Jaden Maiava's pass to the end zone knocked down. 14-13, 18 seconds to go. Just no kickoff return for a touchdown. How about we can make that happen? It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Matt, apparently we should have bet Notre Dame at Stanford. 13-19 to go, second half. Irish up 34-20. Yes, 7 minutes into the second half, Stanford has 20 points.
Dismal shooting. Teams have combined to shoot 4 for 28 from three. Notre Dame 1 for 10. Stanford 3 for 18. Hey, this Stanford team's pretty bad. Actually lost on its home court to UNLV a couple of weeks ago.
Well, they just beat Laverne.
It was La Sierra.
Oh. That's a law, right?
I think it's the La Sierra Golden Eagles out of Riverside, California. I'm going to double check that. La Sierra, NAIA team out of Riverside.
Well, while you look it up, Matt, we were keeping our eyes peeled because we got a lot of
Golden Eagles, yeah.
Husker fans
out here. 7-7 on the season, 0-3 in conference.
I wonder how many of these Husker fans went to the window at halftime with the Nebraska Cornhuskers only up 3 and laid the second half number. I looked for it, but it's an extra game. So the sports books here that I had on my phone, I couldn't find it. So I did not end up betting Nebraska-New Hampshire second half. You could always tweet us. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. He's at Matt Humans 247. Our buddy Chris Meff, the Gov is what he calls himself, said he tailed Pritchard, Scott Pritchard, Kenny White, I assume in the Friday Football Invitational.
That's correct.
On the over in the Alamo Bowl. And he said the Murray cash in the first half under. Now roll it over and bet full game over. Could be a double winner situation. 14-13 halftime score. Big stop in the end zone. I believe it was Bud Clark who got the stop in the end zone on a Jaden Maiava pass. USC settled for a field goal. Sweated out the first half under. I would say right now, Matt, if you had to bet the game, would you look over in the TCU-USC game?
I probably would, but I passed on it. I'll tell you what, if Kenny White and Scott Pritchard are on it, yeah. Why not?
55.5 is pretty much where we were pregame. So that is the live number, and USC is a slight favorite at minus $1.35. A lot of college basketball, and things are going to be ramping up. College conference play has started in some conferences. By the way, Seton Hall, big comeback tonight over Marquette. Marquette has had a rough go this year.
This Marquette team's a mess.
I'm a big Shaka Smart fan. This team is a disaster. They've now lost 5 straight. They're 0-3 in conference play. They just blew a double-digit lead to Seton Hall tonight. But, Matt, set us up on this clip that you have with Arkansas head coach John Calipari.
Coach Cal is going off on the current state of college basketball. You probably saw the report last week that a player who was drafted and just was playing in the NBA 3 weeks ago, is returning to college.
NBA or G League?
NBA. Played an NBA game 3 weeks ago. Is going to be returning to college. Now, there are also G League players who are apparently going to return to college. And every college coach I've seen in the past week, a lot of high-profile guys, Tom Izzo included, Coach Cal, they're going off on this, and they want the NCAA to step up and do something about it. The NCAA is just laying down, allowing all this to happen, after losing so many court battles. Here's Coach Cal, John Calipari, talking about the current state chaos in college hoops.
What's the percentage of kids that make the NBA? Unless you play for me, what would be the percentage? Like, it's like 1% or less? That means 99% of the college players that are getting money, it's fugazi. Fugazi. Because they're getting 400, 500, 800, a million, and they're not pros. So now they have to go get a job after 4 stops. No college degree. No loyalty from the state or the program or anybody. You were a mercenary. Okay, now you got to go get a job. I don't care what a kid makes. It doesn't. But I do care what we're doing to young people. If all these kids can make $4 million, I don't care. But what we're doing by letting them have transfer at will, transfer once. Coach leaves, you can go twice without penalty. But other than that, you got to sit out because now you get 3 years at one school. You're going to get a college degree. You can't be 30. You got 5 years. Clock is ticking. If you go pro, I don't care what country you're from. You leave your name in. You cannot play college basketball. If you transfer mid-season, can't play. You got to sit out. How about we just do that stuff? We can do it without having Congress and the Senate getting 60 votes. We can do that. Let them sue us on that stuff.
All right, first and foremost, the drop from Cal. How many players go pro? Unless they play for me.
Right. That's actually a hilarious part of that clip is his little boast about, if you play for me, you're going to play in the NBA, but all these other guys. Charlie Baker said today that the NCAA has not and will not grant eligibility to any prospective or returning student athletes who have signed an NBA contract, including a two-way contract. and there's a lot more to it here. But that's the biggest problem recently, is there seem to be no rules about international players or pros coming back to college, joining these teams at midseason. It's absolute chaos. And the NCAA has been involved in a bunch of court cases and lost some of them. And there seem to be no rules. It's like the Wild West right now. And, Tim, some of the pay that some of these players are getting is outlandish. And Steve Alford, the Nevada basketball coach, said last week, or said recently, that he's all for players getting paid. And I think most of us are. You got to be paid something. But right now, there's no pay structure. There's no salary cap. You can pay. You got Bryce Underwood, a quarterback at Michigan, who's reportedly getting $12 million. That's insane for something like that to happen.
Well, that's the hilarity of this whole thing with not only college and NFL. Like, I think all of us
turned it into pro sports.
To an extent, we're like, yeah, they deserve to get paid.
There's no salary cap.
There's
no rules to the free agency.
I mean, I think overall, there's part of NIL that is actually very beneficial to college basketball. Keep some of the better players around that don't have big pro prospects, but
there's got to be some guardrails.
Absolutely.
There are none.
Yeah.
I like the NIL too. I think some of that's great that some of these guys can get paid, but there's got to be some sort of pay structure or some guardrails to this, and there's nothing. And it's going to end up being the destruction of college sports if somebody doesn't get control of what's going on here.
Yeah.
So many schools are not going to be able to compete. How about, Tim, think about the lower-level college football conferences. Every time you develop a player, let's say the UConn quarterback.
Joey Fagnano.
Anytime you develop a player, he turns out to be good, he's gone.
I know.
It's going to happen all over the place.
You know, people have always joked, we need minor league football. Well, those leagues have always been a disaster. Stink. But you know what minor league football is? It's the G5. Those players play well, and they get poached out, get big-time contracts and big-time deals. So, yeah, we'll see how it all ultimately plays out. But it's headed down a weird, slippery slope, Matt. That is certainly for sure when it comes to...
I don't like the super conferences either. You know, the Big Ten with 18 teams, probably going to expand to 20. None of this is good for college sports, Tim. It was a lot better when we had the Pac-12 alive the way we knew it.
Oh, 100%. Right? I mean, you think about the rivalries that we've lost. Look, we played the clip about USC-Notre Dame, but it's deeper than that.
There's so many examples.
So many great rivalries have been thrown to the wayside. Look, the Mountain West, and I mean, it's much lower level, but the Mountain West going to the Pac-12, I mean, the next vision of the Mountain West and whatever the Pac-12 is, it's just bizarre.
Mountain West has been picked apart. You think about when you get a conference that's that big, half the teams in football can't even play each other.
Right. Yeah. One thing I do like, I still like the Big East, man. Big East is kind of back to what it sort of was. I would love Syracuse back in that conference. Quick update, we do have a Big East game going on right now. Creighton leading 62-56 over Butler. Nebraska, who led by 3 at the half, Matt, the undefeated Cornhuskers are up 19 right now on New Hampshire. The second half number was 18.5.
Up 3. Huskers were up 3 at halftime. Now up 19. Yeah, we were talking about betting that, but we couldn't find a number. You know, speaking of that, like A.J. Storr, who's at Ole Miss right now.
Yeah.
I think he's played at 4 different programs in 4 years. St. John's, Wisconsin, Kansas, Ole Miss, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be a penalty when you transfer. And I think Coach Cal, one thing he proposed was you can transfer once and you don't have to sit out. But after that, when you transfer, you got to sit out a season.
Or if your coach leaves, I think was also the thing he said.
Well, that's fair too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The coach, who would have thought? The voice of reason, John Calipari, the most straight, narrow guy in all of college.
Always following the rules, always.
That UMass team, boy, they were on, never had any issues. Right. Hey, think you know sports? Then it's time to get paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Go to better.app or download Better today. Make sure you use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 in deposit bonus. Picks for New Year's Eve next.
Thank you.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping things up here on VSiN Primetime, the final program of 2026. Don't worry, Matt and I will be back New Year's Day. We'll be sweating out the Rose Bowl with you and then watching the Sugar Bowl, Georgia and Ole Miss. Dustin Sweetelson has you coming up top of the next hour. Matt, before we dive into tomorrow's slate of college football, some of our best bets.
Speaking of Dustin Sweetelson, wow. That's a story to tell you about him. You remember when we did the VSiN Futures Draft?
I do.
And was that end of August, early September?
Yes.
I was just thinking about this when the Broncos clinched the AFC West. And I picked the Broncos in the Futures Draft, and I was complaining because the rules set up by Steve Cohen weren't flexible enough. Here at Circa, the Broncos were plus 325 to win the AFC West, and at DraftKings, plus 275. And I said, why aren't we using the best number available at DraftKings or Circa? Because we host the shows here at Circa every night. Why don't we use the Circa numbers? And Dustin Sweetelson, who likes to be a smart aleck, we'll say sometimes.
well done.
He said, it's not going to matter. The Broncos are not going to win the division anyway. You remember that during the draft?
I don't remember him utilizing that voice, but
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Kind of a high-pitched squeal. It's not going to matter. Well, it did matter, and the Broncos won the AFC West, so stick to the save the commentary next time.
I was told via Adam Burke with just 1 week left, you are in pretty good shape to be victorious, and I believe I am in decent shape to finish in second place.
I don't think so.
That's what I was told.
I actually believe that Patrick Maher is probably going to win it. I just looked through it the other night. He has Dak he's got Jonathan Taylor at 13-1 to have the most rushing TDs in the league. And that 13-1 might be enough to put him over the top.
Is he going
to
win that?
And also, Super Dave Ross has Dak Prescott at 10-1 to have the most passing yards in the league. So I think those two guys are in pretty good position. Those are big long shots to hit in a draft like that. I think Patrick Maher, Super Dave Ross, I'm in there as well. But those guys definitely have a great shot to win that thing.
Well, it'll be interesting because the Matthew Stafford is currently 34 yards behind Dak Prescott. So does Dak Prescott go out there and play the full game?
He's going to try to win it.
Yeah. It's funny.
Players do care about stuff like that. They won't say, I care about winning. No, they care about personal stats and milestones and achievements like that.
Super Dave had the first – not the first pick, but had a high pick. Mm-hmm. And we all knew that he was going to pick some sort of Cowboy selection.
He had some other Cowboy futures that are not going to pay off.
Yeah. I actually had on my list Dak Prescott to lead the league in passing yards.
Are you serious?
And in the first round, he took it. And someone took a screenshot of it because I went like this, and they thought I was making fun of Dave when I was not. I actually wanted that. I do have Dak Prescott over 4,000 yards in the draft. I think that already cashed.
Yeah, but you're not getting the same number.
No, of course. That was even money. This is a massive hit.
I think Dave's getting 9-1 or 10-1 on that.
I think so.
But the difference in the whole draft could be Patrick Maher on Jonathan Taylor rushing touchdowns. I think at 13-1, he's got a 2-touchdown lead. I just looked at it yesterday because Super Dave Ross mentioned something about it to me. Hey, can we take a look quickly at the Circuit Friday Football Invitational standings?
Sir. Another competition out there.
We've got 3 weeks left, 7 plays this week, and then we're going to go 2 weeks into the postseason, 3 plays each from the handicappers. It's going to be a 20-week contest. Chris Massaro, you like to call him the madman. The Boston Strangler out of San Diego, 66-49-2, 71.5 points. He's got a 4-point lead over the Bear, Chris Felica, and a 4.5-point lead over Jason Jarvis. A 5-point lead over Scott Pritchard. That's your top four. Matt St. Marie, Kenny White, tied for fifth, and then Carl Sack in seventh, tied with Frank Carulli. We're at the Elite Eight stage. I can confirm that this Friday night, the Bear, back from his cruise, is going to be on the show. Chris Felica will be on the show. Scott Pritchard will be on. Matt St. Marie and more. So tune in Friday night for week 18 of the Friday Football Invitational, presented by Omaha Steaks.
And if you're wondering about the madman, Chris Massaro, Texas Tech plus 2 is his best bet, and he also has Miami plus 9.5. So two bets still to come this week from Chris Massaro. The Bear, Chris Felica, his best bet is Miami plus 9.5, Oregon minus 2. So head-to-head, he could make up some ground on the Madman, and he also has Texas minus 7.5 against Michigan.
Chris Massaro just texted me and says he remembers vividly that moment, that back and forth between me and Dustin during the Futures draft when Dustin cackled and said, hey, it's not going to matter. Okay.
You want to stick around and go on Dustin's show?
No, that's okay.
Okay. All right, Matt, we had recorded the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast earlier today, gave out some best bets. The episode is now up on YouTube. You can check that out. Also, wherever you get your podcasts, as are we going to get an interception here from USC, as they are going to get a short field.
Batted ball and a pick for the Trojans to open the second half.
And that is good for overbettors, as now a short field for USC as Ken Seals is intercepted. Matt, before we dive into the quarterfinal games, let's quickly look at the slate tomorrow. You and I both have a common play in the ReliaQuest Bowl, which used to be the Outback Bowl down at Raymond James Stadium. Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt, a 5.5-point underdog. Total has come down a little bit at 45.5 right now.
I do like the Iowa Hawkeyes plus 5.5 here, and Diego Pavia was hot to finish the regular season, but this Hawkeyes defense could cool him off, Tim. Now, this game's not in Iowa City, and that's where the Hawkeyes are at their best. They held Indiana to 20 points, Oregon to 18 points, but I think they'll get down and dirty and turn this into a low-scoring, ugly game, and that's what Iowa does best. They basically force you to play their style. They can manipulate the game, and I think the Iowa defense is going to do that and frustrate Diego Pavia. If you remember the Missouri-Vanderbilt game,
yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
That was a really tough game for Pavia and the Commodores to pull out, and it was ugly. It was low-scoring and ugly, and I think that's what we're going to have tomorrow. I give the Hawkeyes a great shot to win the game, Iowa plus 5.5.
Common play for the two of us. I also played first half under in this game. 23.5 is still out there at FanDuel. I think this is, if Iowa... I think they want to drag him into the mud. No Eli Stowers in this game. Uh-huh. The Mackey Award winner, best tight end in the country. 62 catches, 769 yards, 4 touchdowns. Look, Diego Pavia, he's been terrific against the spread since getting to Vanderbilt. 18-6-1 ATS at Vanderbilt. But I think this is a battle tomorrow, so I'll take the points with Iowa. I think it's fair to say, Matt, and the other three non-playoff games tomorrow, no bets for the two of us?
Three non-playoff
Arizona
games.
State, Duke, Michigan, Texas, Nebraska, Utah.
I thought you had a bet on Nebraska. Are you not allowed to admit that on the air because you're the sideline reporter?
I didn't bet the game. I mean, I'm not going to bet the game, but I did not bet it. Thanks for putting that out there. No, I did not bet the game. Miami, Ohio State, Matt, you're hoping that maybe a 10 shows up in this one.
Yeah, if it doesn't show up, and I think the 10 will resurface. If not, I'm just going to buy the half point because I'm irritated about missing it. I went to bet the 10. It dropped to 9.5, and I can't live with that if it lands on 10. I'll make an exception. Typically, I wouldn't buy the half point to 10. But if it did land on that number and I took 9.5, I don't want it to ruin my New Year's Eve. So Miami plus 10 at minus 125 if you got to buy the half point. I think you've got Miami plus 10 at minus 120, right?
I do. Laid 20. I do like first half under in that one. You could lay the juice minus 32 on the under first half, 21.5 or 20.5. I think this is a low-scoring first half. I don't know if it's going to be as low-scoring as 0-0 between Miami and Texas A&M, mm-hmm. but I think this is another grinder in the first half. Matt, we got a text coming in, and before we get out of here, because we'll be on the air when this game is going on. Alabama, Indiana, what are you looking at in this one?
I like Indiana. I don't love the Hoosiers to cover the number of 7, but I think there is a decent chance they're going to win this by double digits. I've got bigger bets here in Indiana on the money line, minus 235. And also, 235 is a bit of a cheap price for a 7-point favorite, too. If this number dropped to 6.5, I'd probably bet a little bit more on the side. Also got an Indiana-Georgia money line parlay, both minus 235. That comes out to plus 103 if you play it that way.
All right. Matt and I will be back on New Year's Day prior to the start of Georgia and Ole Miss. Both Matt and I have some thoughts on that game as well. You could check it out on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast out right now. So some of our best bets out there as well. So that's going to do it for 2025, Matt Newmans.
It's been a pretty good year, Tim. Hopefully 2026 is even better.
Ended with a winner on the first half under, which was easy, never in doubt. Now USC, TCU, got some pushing and shoving there on the sidelines. Should be a fun one, I would say, down at the Alamo Bowl to wrap things up. Thanks to Corey, our producer, and everyone behind the scenes for joining us, for working with us tonight. Matt Grill, Chuck Esposito, Dan Saley, Ryan Hyatt, and David Behrman. Dustin Sweetelson is coming up next with Cashing Out.
The Tackler.
Matt Eumann's going to hang out for an hour, and they're going to discuss their philosophies on the New England Patriots.
Not going to matter.
Oh, the Denver Broncos. Excuse me.